We started a series last week called the Pursuit of Holiness. As a matter of fact, that was the message that I had last week. The main heading was that, the Pursuit of Holiness. We talked about godliness and all that, and how important it is for us to maintain certain spiritual disciplines. And that text was in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. And I gave credit here to Donald Whitney for spiritual disciplines for the Christian life, that sort of spells out that there's a lot of books on spiritual disciplines and things that we should make a regular part of our disciplined life as disciplined disciples of Christ. But I really like the way that he spelled them out in that particular book. And I did notice, for those that are interested, it is available on Amazon for about $10 a copy or something like that. And if you have a Kindle or an iPad, you can download it for $7.99. And there's also a study guide that goes along with that book. And some applications are actually free online if you're a Prime member of Amazon. Otherwise, it's not that expensive. But I would encourage you to think about purchasing that book and reading it through in your devotional time yourself. If you'd like for me to order you one, I'd be glad to get you one and have it here at the church for you to pick it up. Because it's very helpful in our Christian walk. And as we enter into a new church year, as the sign down there still says, a new year means a new start. So we're thankful for the fresh start that God gives us every year. It gives us a new opportunity to look at the issues of holiness and even discipline in our lives. The main text last week had this key verse in it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It said, exercise yourself towards godliness. And we talked about the fact that exercise, the word actually comes, the Greek word is where we get our word gymnasium. And how last week, you remember, I got some giggles when I said it. I was encouraging all of you to join the gym this year. But what I meant is the spiritual gym of disciplining yourself in habits of your life that will enhance your walk with God. To understand him better, to see him for who he is, to see his word as it is meant to be seen. And there's several disciplines were mentioned. The first one we're looking at today, Bible intake or biblical intake. Next week we'll be looking at prayer, and then we'll go on down the list here. We'll look at worship. We'll look at evangelism and serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling and learning. Just ten disciplines. That Whitney emphasized in his writing that I think would be good for all of us to take time to look at from God's Word what it has to say to us. Well, one thing I'm hoping that we're able to accomplish, we haven't tried it yet. I just emailed over to Roland this morning the PowerPoint slideshow that goes with the sermon this morning. And I'm glad I did, because the computer at the sound system died this morning, and I found my slideshow, so it was there. But what we're hoping to do is, along with the sermon, have a click on your computer that you can actually download everything that you see on the screen, so that if I go a little fast on some of these screens, some people tell me I talk fast. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. I talk fast, but sometimes I click fast as well, so you may not get everything down on the screen. But we're going to see how that works out. It might be that there can be a link beside the sermon there. So if you ever miss something on the screen and want to get the information that had listed there or reference or whatever it may be, chances are we'll be able to make that work very soon. But these spiritual disciplines are going to be there. Today, we're going to talk about the discipline of biblical intake, the discipline of biblical intake. He called it Bible intake, but I like the phrase biblical intake there. It helps me to understand exactly what it's talking about, how it is that we can take the Word of God, the Word I hide in my heart, that I may not sin against you. We teach it to our kids. When they do the Iwana verses, they're hiding God's Word in their heart. Aren't you thankful for the disciplines that they have now? You know, how many of you that are over, 50, I'll say, can quote scripture left and right? You got it. You know, you can almost quote the whole Bible. You got it. Some of you might can. Some of our 10-year-olds in here can. Why can't you do it? Why is that? Because they're growing up learning God's Word and disciplining themselves to learn God's Word. And you might not think, if you work with the kids during Awanas, you may not think it's accomplishing a whole lot. You know, they're learning their verse, they're getting their credit and whatnot, they're getting their Awana bucks, whatever it happens to be. But these words are going into them forever. And it may be that the time comes and they need to recall something that they've learned and one of these verses that they've learned. They might not remember it exactly word for word, but it's hidden in the heart and it's always going to be there. It's always going to be a part of them. How do we take God's word and let it be a part of our lives? Obviously, this is a very important discipline. I think the first two on the list, biblical intake and prayer, certainly belong at the top of the list. And really, we could make an argument that the rest of them on the list are just subsets of the Bible and of prayer and how we can implement both of those into the rest of the disciplines. So obviously, as a pastor and a preacher, I'm gonna have a strong inclination for this one, and my heart really is in sync with what God wants to share with us here this morning, I hope and pray. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, look at that verse. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Did you see that? You see what it says? Where he's thanking God for the Thessalonican church. It hadn't been too long since we've studied through the books of Thessalonians. And we talked about how well they had their act together and what a good, solid foundation they had built in their church because it was built upon the Word of God. And the reason of that is because they received the Word they'd heard from them, the Word of God they heard from them. They welcomed it not simply as man, the Word of men. How many of you heard that said about the Bible? Well, the Bible is just a bunch of books that a bunch of authors got together and they decided it needed to be a Bible. It's just the words of man. You know, that is an argument. I heard it on talk radio just about, about 6 weeks ago. It's just a bunch of men got together and made this. Well, they did get together, but they were inspired by God. The writings were inspired by God. And when they compiled the Bible and compiled the Scripture, I believe that process was guided by the inspiration of God as well. What we have here is the very Word of God, and we need to see it as that. Because if it's just another religious book, then just take your pick at whatever religious book you'd like to have. But we believe that is indeed the very Word of God, and God has protected it, and God has provided it for us as a love letter, that it may reveal to us who He is, and that we may know all that we need to know of Him for salvation and for a full life. Does it tell us everything we will ever know about God? No, it couldn't possibly do that. But it does tell us what we need to know. So we need to be disciplined in Bible intake. And that's what we'll be looking at here. There's the verse. I just read it, so we'll go on past that one then. The discipline of biblical intake. First of all, we need to be hearers of the Word. Hearing God's Word. That is a great discipline that we need to have. We need to say that we can hear God's Word. We need to hear what He is saying to each and every one of us. Did you see it in our text in the Thessalonians? It said that the things, the words of God that you heard from us, you welcome them as the word of men. You heard the old expression before, he hears good, he just don't listen well. You know, that's how we often are. We're not listening to the Word of God. It's not just a matter of being able to hear, but actually listening to what God has to say to each and every one of us. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 said this, "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." All right? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11, 28. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So most people that have received the gospel have heard the gospel so they could receive it. All right? It makes sense. It's a logical argument there to say faith comes by hearing. I heard the Word of God proclaimed to me the day that I received Christ. It was clear as a bell that God had a message for my heart. And if you're saved this morning, that is, you've given your life to Him and a personal commitment, personal surrender to Him, then you have done that as well. You've heard the Word of God. And we need to be faithful tellers of the Word of God so people can hear. The world's trying to shut us up. Like the little boy on the video said, Oprah can't explain away. Did you catch that? I had hoped that you could. There's all kind of teachings that are out there in our world, in our men's Bible study on Friday morning. We were just talking about that, how all these teachers are in the world teaching their philosophies and their ideas about God. And a lot of their ideas and philosophies about God are totally contrary to what the Word of God truly says. We need to hear the Word of God. Amos chapter 11, chapter 8, verse 11. This is what I built my project on that you participated in for my doctorate. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Thou shalt send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. How many think we're experiencing that famine now? People just don't want to hear what the Word has to say. It's a famine. The world around us, we are more technologically advanced today than we probably have ever been, and I'm not going to say ever will be, because we'll be twice as advanced tomorrow than we are today, probably. But in all the technology that's out there, it's hard to believe. IT is it, literally, I guess. IT, information technology, it's it. But yet there's a famine of the land when it comes to hearing the words of God. Hearing God's Word. You can hear God's Word. You can listen to God's Word. This little thing here, I know you probably don't know what that is. Cassettes. You ever heard of those? These are little things, that little white things about this big, and a lot of times you had to take a pencil and stick in it, turn it to get it set right and all that other stuff, or it'd break. You could take the screws out of the case, open it up, put a little piece of tape on the inside, put it back together again. It sounds funny when you get to it, but you could put those things back together. But when those cassettes, I remember when they came out, okay? So that's how old I am. Before that was the 8-track tape. Remember those? And the cassettes were great because you could fast forward to whatever song you wanted to listen to. All right, you know, you can still find cassettes with God's Word on them, the Bible. You can find cassettes with sermons on them that you can listen to. Oh, Stephen, Virginia, you know, they've got a lot of cassettes from OT, from even back when he was here in the 60s and 70s. Messages preached in this very church. You can go back and listen to God's Word. You can hear His Word through cassettes. Now we do it this way, CDs and DVDs. You know, someday your kids are going to feel old when we talk about these. So CDs and DVDs, it's out there. They're available. Television, you know, those boxes that you have. Well, they're not boxes anymore. These flat things that you have in your house. These televisions, you can watch video sermons on TV. Papa Jack watches Adrian Rogers in the morning, and Papa Frank told him, said, you know he's dead, don't you? He said, he can't be dead. I just saw him on TV this morning. So he was there. But Steve tells me when he can't make it to church, when he's not feeling able with all that he's been through with his cancer, he always catches it on TV as well. Thankful for these ways that we can actually hear God's Word. And now we have this thing called the Internet. And we have all these devices now that allows you, you know, never has the Word of God been more available to hear than now. I mean, just think about whoever your favorite preacher is. And you can go on a website, you can do a Google search, and you can probably find messages from that individual that you can listen to and download. You can still download Adrian Rogers' messages. I was checking that out. Love Worth Finding. It's still out there, and you can listen to them. And they're still producing new productions, I guess. I guess it's not new sermons, but new productions of his old sermons even now. You can hear those. You get podcasts where you can have them automatically download to your telephone or your iPod or whatever device you're using there. You know, some of the best preachers in the world are available to you today. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the best preachers in the world. It's really amazing how that happens. We can come together. We can be inspired together by the Word of God, and I can proclaim it to you. And I'm not saying the Word of God's any better if somebody else proclaims it, because it's still the Word of God. But yet we can, in our own time, we can be encouraged by these great speakers today. It's available. We can hear God's Word, and we need to make that a part of our discipline to listen to God's Word. You're going on the car, and you can listen to it on your radio. You can listen to the CDs. You can listen to it on the computer. There's no reason why we can't be hearing God's Word. The second part here, the second one, is reading God's Word. Another part of it is reading God's Word. Reading God's Word would be first. Well, reading God's Word is still in a very, very important discipline for us to have. We had an opportunity with the new year to start the new Reading Through the Bible challenges that we always offer, and Debbie's always good about having those available in the Welcome Center for you to take a look at and check them out and come up with a guide to read through the Bible. And these are the two that are at the Welcome Center right now, reading through the Bible in chronological order and into that Word. This is just a standard reading guide to get you through the Word of God. These are available, and I tell you what, I started over again with the new year, and so far I'm on track, so doing good. This is the 8th. I hadn't messed up yet, so I'm good, but checking it out. But you know, it even causes me to ask questions as I read the Word of God, and it's exciting to read God's Word. 1 Timothy 4, 13, Paul told Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." It's so easy to read the Word of God. It's so available today in so many different formats. So yeah, you're just showing me on your phone this morning. You know, you got the apps there. There's an app for that. So you can download and look at it on your phone. You can look at it on your computer. You can pick up the book, you know. I think we had a service recently and this wasn't set up. And I said, we have these books. They're called hymnals back there. And you can pick it up and the words of the hymnals are there. And I thought we was going to use them this morning because everything died at 10 o'clock this morning. So, but it's working for now. So that's good. But give attention to reading. It's so accessible today. And we need to spend time reading God's Word. We need to develop a reading plan. You need to have we're talking about discipline here. We're talking about exercising. We need to have a reading plan to allow God's Word to come into our life. But we need to set decide, all right, how much is it we're going to read? But we need to decide something. If it's not reading through the Bible in a year, maybe you want to read through the Bible in 3 years and just read a little less each day. According to Whitney in his book, he says, if you read 3 chapters a day, 6 days a week, and 5 chapters on Sunday, you'll read through the Bible in a year. Read 3 chapters in the Old Testament a day, 3 chapters in the New Testament a day. You'll read through the Old Testament once, and the New Testament, I think it said 2 or 3 times. I can't remember now exactly what it was. But develop some kind of reading plan, some kind of discipline. And if you don't even keep up with that, just put a check mark in your Bible after you've read through a complete book so you can say that you've made it for that one. A lot of you put dates in your Bible. You can write that in there as well. But develop some kind of reading plan. Whatever it is that fits your schedule and whatever fits your availability, get up a little earlier. Spend time in God's Word. You know, with the advent now of Bibles on tape and all this other, these recordings of Bibles, it's been determined that you can listen through the whole Bible. If you can listen through the whole Bible, you can read through the whole Bible in 72 hours. And you probably spent that much time on Facebook last week. So you can find time to read God's Word. Go to Bible Gateway. They have an available BibleGateway.com, and they have an email structure set up where they can send you the text you need to read for the day on a daily basis. And they don't offer it in New King James translation, but they have other translations available in that. But you can read it through that way. Just develop some kind of reading plan. Discipline yourself to read God's Word. The third one, learning God's Word. Learning God's Word. All right, we need to learn. It's one thing to read God's Word. It's another thing to learn God's Word. And we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to learn God's Word. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." He was determined that he was going to teach the Word of God. He was going to be a teacher of the Word of God. Here they are getting everything ready. Here they are building the temple. Here they are going to build the wall and all these other things that the boy on the video was talking about when he's talking about who Jesus is throughout the Scriptures. And they discover the Word of God and they open it up, and it's like it's been forever since they heard this. And they just stood and listened as it was proclaimed hours and hours on end. Not just a 30-minute sermon, but just simply reading the Scriptures. And then they broke off into the small groups, I guess discipleship groups or Sunday school classes, and they discussed what it was that was read from His Word. That they studied the Word of God, and we need to be students of God's Word always. Always. I will always consider myself a student of the Word of God, and I hope that you will as well. I hope that you won't ever say, well, read it, don't have to do it again. No, it doesn't work like that. because God is always revealing something special about Himself. Every time you read the Word of God, it's a living book. We need to learn the Word of God. And we can do that through memorizing. How many of y'all like memorizing Scripture? There we go. You say, I'm glad I'm not in Awana's because they got to learn too many verses. So I was going through a cabinet in the house yesterday, and I came across a big old stack, Brian will appreciate it, about that big of index cards with rubber band wrapped around them, and you know what they are, the Greek vocabulary cards. So, and I remember going to the seminary in the mornings with my stack of index cards, flipping through them things as I'm going down 540 trying to learn my words and trying to memorize them. But, you know, they say it's easier to memorize seven in groups of seven. They said that's why phone numbers were in groups of seven. So easy to remember groups of seven. So I take seven words at a time. You can do the same thing with the Scripture. Take seven words of a verse and try to learn those verses. Go over and over and over again. Add seven more words to it. Go over and over and over again. You can memorize it. You can memorize. You say, I can't do that. Well, most of you know, maybe, your phone number. Maybe you don't. It might be stored on my phone somewhere. I'll have to look. To be honest with you, I don't know my phone number. I know it here, but I don't know it there. So, hey, I got two phone numbers to remember. That's hard. How many of you know your Social Security number? Social Security, all right. How many of you know your driver's license number? How many of you know your date of birth? I mean, date of death. You might know that one. No, I don't know that one yet, so that's good. You remember things? Guys, when's your wife's birthday? You remember that one? All right. So, all right. We remember things that we want to remember. And so don't ever fall for the fact that the old excuse of saying I'm too old to remember. It might be harder to remember now than it was when you were younger. And I think we need to help our children learn all they can learn while their mind is working so well. Absolutely. Sounds funny, but it's true. But we need to be still memorizing the Word of God. The psalmist said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Think about it. It's hidden in the heart. It's not like somebody faces a questionable situation. I'm not sure if this will be moral. I don't know if this is right or not. Let me see what the Word of God says. It might be that you don't have access to the Word of God. Maybe your cell phone battery is dead. You can't access your e-Bible on your phone. Whatever it may be. The thing is, if it's hidden in your heart, you'll know how to respond to it. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, that's where Jesus is faced with the temptations in the wilderness by Satan. And three times Satan tries to tempt the Lord. And each time Jesus responds by saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Of course, he is the Word of God, but he knew the Word of God. He had the Word of God as a part of who He is. And when the Word of God is a part of you, who you are, it'll help you when the hard times come. It'll help you respond quickly and keep you from making bad mistakes in your life and bad decisions. Hide God's Word in your heart. Memorize it and meditate on it as well. Meditate upon the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying sit Indian style and say om, or whatever that meditation. You know, meditation is very popular today in the New Age movement that's taking place. But guess what? It was popular in the Bible as well. It says in Psalm 119 again, it says, verse 97, oh, how I love your laws. It is my meditation all the day. It's on my mind all the day. Meditation simply means to think deeply. And you're thinking deeply about the Word of God. So not only are you trying to memorize the Word of God and learn the Word of God as you study, but you want to take it and think deeply about it as you read. Somewhere in his couple chapters that deal with Bible intake, he talks about as you're reading through the Bible, make sure today if you read four chapters in the book of Genesis, make sure you find something there to learn and memorize or find a passage and just meditate. Think deeply about that and keep that in your mind throughout the day. That's why it's pretty good to do it early in the morning so you can think about it all day long as your mind goes back to the things that are there. What is it? Let's see. Well, I won't go there. But anyway, meditation, to think deeply. Learn God's Word, memorizing and meditating, or a small group study. Right now, that's what we do on Wednesday. We kind of meditate upon, we think about, we study God's Word together. Our men's Bible study at McDonald's on Friday morning at 6:30, that's what we do. We're going through the book of Matthew right now. Someday we're going to finish that book, I'm sure of it. But then we'll start another book. But we're getting together and we're studying the Word of God and discussing the Word of God. The ladies are doing it as well. You do that in your Sunday school classes and groups. They do it in council times in Awana. All these are opportunities for you to be a part of a small group study. I'd love, and it's my goal, my desire, to try to get another internet study going like we did on the book of Galatians a couple of years ago for my D-Men project. Need to get with our brilliant webmaster over there, Ryan, again, and help me get that set up. But while the deacons are taking the Wednesday nights for the next several weeks, it's given me an opportunity to put together another online study that maybe we can participate together in, and how refreshing that would be. Learning God's Word, we need to make it a discipline. And finally, we need to live God's Word. Living God's Word. Are you living the Word of God? It's not just simply as it comes in, it also needs to come out of us and need to be a part of who we are. Luke chapter 11, 28, I've already read this a little earlier, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Some translations say, and do it. And we want to be those that are doers of the Word of God. Matter of fact, James says, in King James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're familiar with that, but what about the New American Standard Bible translation? It says, but prove yourselves as doers of the word, not merely hearers. Prove yourself. Let it be an evidence that God is doing something amazing in your life. Listen, I truly believe that God brings change into our life through His Spirit, through His Word. We read what it says to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That comes from the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We spend time in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God into our lives. And He's bringing us closer to Himself and bringing to us that Christ likeness that He desires for us to have and that we'll all enjoy once we have it. To be disciplined in the Word of God means it's evidence as part of who we are. Questions to ask. I had some of these when we did our internet study a couple of years ago, but here's a set that Whitney had in his book. Does the text reveal something as far as applying the Word of God, living the Word of God? As you read the Scriptures, is the text telling you something that I should, it telling me something that I should believe about God? Is it showing me that? Is it showing me something that I should praise or thank God for? Okay. Is it showing me something I should pray about for myself or others? Is it something I should believe about God? Is it showing me something about His greatness? How great, how wonderful, how just, how merciful, how loving? Is it showing me something I need to know about God? Because sometimes we get frustrated because we think everybody's getting away with things and we're thinking, is this truly a God of justice? Then we find out if God gives us what we truly deserved, we wouldn't like that either. All these things, should we believe? Is it showing us something we should believe about God? Should I praise or thank God for? Should I pray about for myself, for others? Here's some more. Is it revealing something that I should have a new attitude about? That never happens to me, but it may happen to you. No, it does happen to me. I'm kidding. So, certainly, something I should have a new attitude about? Does it reveal something that I should make a decision about? Tell you what, just reading through Genesis this week, there's been a lot of things I've been convicted about and some things that really should be decided and acted upon. And God has shown that to me through His Word. And if you read God's Word, it'll happen to you as well. Boy, things start happening when you start reading the Word of God. I tell you what, last year when the new reading through the Bible sheets were put out, I got so many questions that first month. And it does that kind of thing. That last one there, does it reveal something that I should do for the sake of Christ or others or myself? Is there some kind of way I need to respond to what I'm reading and how God would have me show mercy? Kindness towards your neighbor, when it reveals who your neighbor really is, do we think about those that are in need around us that we overlook every day? Does this text reveal something? Is God trying to give you an application? It is there. If you just spend time, and the meditation on God's Word will help reveal the application of God's Word. So if you're not meditating on it, no wonder you don't know what the will of God is, because you're not in His Word enough to even know. Yet God desires to reveal this to you. And He will if you just open your eyes up to His Word. Living God's Word. There they are, hearing God's Word, the principles or discipline of biblical intake. Hearing God's Word, reading God's Word, learning God's Word, and living God's Word. Those were the 4 points that I just gave you. And it tells us and reminds us again that we are to exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise ourselves towards godliness. And exercise implies what? Work. Well, they say, no pain, no gain. Of course, they got things now that you don't have to even be painful when you're exercising. Of course, I don't know if they work or not, but my aunt bought all these exercise tables one time that all you had to do is lay on the table, and the tables move and make you do all the exercise, and all you got to do is lay there. Let it do all the work. Yeah, right. Exercise yourself to godliness. It does mean that you put something into it if you want to get something out of it. And we said last week, God blesses us. God encourages us. That's part of His mercies and whatnot. But we need to put ourselves into the path of blessing that He's desiring for us to do. The discipline of biblical intake. I came across this quote in his book, and I just want to share that with you because some of you have already started reading through the Bible, and some of you have had questions about it. But as we close, think about biblical intake. Listen to this. This is from a Welch pastor, Jeffrey Thomas, and he writes of reading the Bible. Listen to what he says, and I think this is going to touch a chord with a lot of you. All right? Do not expect to master the Bible in a day or a month or a year. Rather, expect often to be puzzled by its contents. Has that ever happened to you? I can't read it. This is confusing. All right? All right? It is not all equally clear. All right? Great men of God often feel like absolute novices when they read the Word. The Apostle Paul said that there were some things hard to understand in the epistles of Paul, surprisingly, in 2 Peter 3:16. I'm glad he wrote those words because I've felt that often. So do not expect always to get an emotional charge or a feeling of quiet peace when you read the Bible. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, you may expect that to be a frequent experience, but often you will get no emotional response at all. Let the Word of God break over your heart and mind again and again as the years go by. And imperceptibly, there will come great changes in your attitude, and outlook, and conduct. You will probably be the last to recognize these. Often you will feel very, very small because increasingly the God of the Bible will become to you wonderfully great. So go on reading until you can read no longer, and then when you will not need the Bible anymore, because when you close your eyes the last time in death and never read the Word of God in Scriptures, you will open them to the Word of God in the flesh. That same Jesus of the Bible, whom you have known for so long, is standing before you to take you forever to His eternal home. Don't give up on reading the Word of God. If something is confusing, meditate upon it. Pray about it. Ask God to open your eyes to what He wants to reveal. But if you want to discipline yourself, if you're concerned about your walk with God and you really want to grow in God this year, then you need to understand the discipline of biblical intake.